The world of AI is moving at such an incredible pace that it is often hard to keep up. This podcast is going to be trying to do just that. We're going to be asking questions like, how can AI be used to tackle the shoplifting crisis? And how do we balance the benefits of AI against the rights and freedoms of individuals? Hi everybody, my name is Katie Simmons and I'm a managing associate in WBD's digital team. Our team comprises of IT, intellectual property, and data lawyers. And across the team, we have a mixture of non-contentious and contentious expertise. I specialize in privacy, digital regulation, and technology transactions, and have a particular interest in emerging technologies. I'm joined today by Amy Battinson, and we're going to be talking to you about AI facial recognition technology.
Hi everyone. As Katie's mentioned, I'm Amy and I'm a trainee solicitor at WBD. I joined the firm around a year and a half ago and I'm currently in my third seat in the digital team in our Bristol office. During today's podcast, we're going to talk to you about the use of AI facial recognition technology. Today's session will be about 15 minutes long and we will cover three key points. So firstly, what is AI facial recognition technology? How is it being used to combat the shoplifting crisis? And what are the legal challenges of using AI facial recognition technology in the retail sector? So let's get started. So first of all, what is AI facial recognition technology?
This is a type of facial recognition technology that uses AI algorithms to identify and analyse a person's face. Those of us with iPhones will be aware of Apple's Face ID, which allows users to unlock their mobile phones using their face. Now, this is an example of facial recognition technology that is routinely used and acts as an enhanced security feature, making it more difficult for an unauthorized user to unlock a device without the owner's knowledge.
This leads us on to our next question. How can this sort of technology be used in the retail sector?
In the context of the retail sector, which sees millions of people coming into shop floors each day, there are multiple potential use cases for this type of tech. These include helping to enforce age restrictions. We have recently advised a client in relation to this kind of technology, what was used to avoid children being given access to particular areas of a store. Another use case is to give employees access to restricted areas of a store or devices such as customer tills that are only intended to be used by employees. Now, this will work in a similar way to Apple's Face ID and enhance the security of restricted areas of a store. Leaving the best till last, the final use case that I wanted to talk about is the ability to record those who visit your store and identify them. Usually, this is used for the purposes of crime prevention. Undoubtedly, this use case is the most controversial, particularly when it is used to identify potential criminal offenders. For the rest of this podcast, we're going to be focusing on this last use case, the identification of potential criminal offenders.
So, how is AI facial recognition technology being used to combat the shoplifting crisis? Before we start doing what lawyers do best and delving into the risks of AI facial recognition technology, I thought that it would be quite helpful to talk a little bit more about its benefits and how it's being used to combat the shoplifting crisis. Firstly, some of the main retail stores in the country that have implemented AI facial recognition technology have reported that shoplifting incidents have reduced by around 25 to 30%. Secondly, it can save valuable police time from having to manually compare CCTV images against those held in police databases. Thirdly, and finally, it is said to be impartial and incredibly accurate, with the Met Police reporting a false positive identification rate of only 0.1%. These benefits all illustrate how this technology can be used as an effective deterrent against shoplifting.
Those benefits are really interesting, but to be able to consider this from a privacy and human rights perspective, we need to understand more about how these systems work in practice. So, how do these systems work with the aim of tackling theft? Firstly, Cameras are installed in the store to capture video footage, which the AI system then uses to extract facial images and create profiles relating to the physical, physiological, or behavioral characteristics of a person. This is all known as biometric data, and the system stores these biometric profiles in a database. These are then compared to a pre-existing database of known shoplifters, amongst other criminal offences. So secondly, when the system identifies a face or profile that matches an individual on the database, it immediately notifies the security staff, prompting closer monitoring of the said individual. That notified member of staff will be informed of this alert, which could be a visual cue on a monitor, a sound on a notification sent to a device. And once they're informed of the reason why this person's on the stop list, in order to ensure that the individual is approached appropriately and effectively. There is hope that this notification process will help reduce mistakes, and ultimately using this kind of technology will help to eliminate bias.
So having briefly considered some of the benefits and practical implications, it would be good to move on to consider some of the key legal challenges of using AI facial recognition technology, specifically within the retail sector.
To consider this, we need to understand what laws apply. AI is now very much in the spotlight, with new regulations and laws being developed globally. The UK government wants to understand the risks of AI before legislating to enable a pro-innovation approach to the regulation of AI. The core of the UK's approach is not to develop new legislation, but to create high-level principles that guide existing regulators to provide sector-specific guidance. Now, the UK government has put forward 5 overarching principles to shape the future regulatory guidance. These are safety, transparency, fairness, accountability, and contestability. These principles all build upon those protections relating to data protection principles that are already set out in the GDPR. The government's aim is to adopt an agile and proportionate approach here that seeks to encourage the advancement of AI. There are concerns that the government's goals-based approach is too light touch and doesn't provide sufficient guardrails. This concern has been raised by a number of regulators who are ultimately concerned about their ability to create and enforce AI-specific guidance without any underlying legislation. There are also concerns around understanding how businesses that straddle a number of areas and regulators are practically meant to comply with lots of different types of guidance. There is a concern that this creates a patchwork quilt approach with potentially conflicting regulatory guidance and possible gaps.
And what about the position in the EU?
Now, the EU has a comprehensive draft act on AI, which is in the final stages of drafting. This is completely different to the UK's largely outcomes-based approach. The EU's AI Act proposes different risk categories for different uses of AI. These include prohibited, high, limited, and minimal risk. The idea is that the risk category then determines what level of compliance organisations need to adopt. The risk category generally follows on how the AI is used. However, some AI models may just be so powerful that they are risky regardless of their use case. This really emphasises the focus by the EU on the type of technology used rather than just how that technology is deployed. It is likely that live facial recognition or real-time remote biometric identification systems, such as those we just described, will be generally prohibited in public spaces under the EU's AI Act. The exception to this will be where it is strictly necessary for law enforcement purposes. When used, it will be subject to strict safeguards and only allowed for very specific purposes, such as the prevention of a specific terrorist threat. Now, we don't expect the UK to legislate as strictly as the EU is doing here. However, instead, it will create its high-level principles. It will therefore be interesting to see how the divergent approach between the UK and EU pans out.
So in the context of these laws, what are the top three legal challenges for the retail sector?
In the context of these laws and the focus of both the UK and EU regimes on consumer protection, for me, there are three key challenges here. The first is privacy, the second is discrimination, and the third is accuracy.
Let's go into each of these three challenges in a bit more detail.
Focusing first on privacy. When we use facial recognition technology to unlock our phones or log into our online banking account, this is an active choice of ours and it is under our control. However, individuals captured by camera systems which use live facial recognition technology in a retail environment usually have no control or choice in this. Many have concerns that the use of this technology in public spaces undermines individuals' privacy rights and exposes customers to potentially unnecessary and intimidating police surveillance as they go about their day-to-day lives. Back in April last year, the ICO declared that Facewatch, the leading retail security system in the UK, was compliant with UK data protection laws. Now, Facewatch is a company which uses biometric cameras to check faces against a watch list, and it currently advertises that its facial recognition technology is proven to reduce theft in businesses by at least 35% in the first year of use. However, it came under investigation following a complaint by a privacy campaign group which outlined how the software involved highly invasive processing of personal data. Now, the ICO's position is that this facial recognition technology is able to be used and that you can balance individuals' rights to privacy as long as you have a legitimate purpose for using it. In the case of Facewatch, the ICO was satisfied that its services achieve the legitimate purpose of detecting and preventing crime. It needs to be stressed that the Facewatch decision was not intended by the ICO to allow for a blanket use of this kind of technology in public spaces. However, the ICO is clear that this is a good starting point and that each case will be considered on its own merits. In terms of what you can do in practice then, any companies using this kind of technology should therefore ensure that they have a detailed understanding of how their tech works, including the potential impact of the software on individuals and thinking about what safeguards they could implement to prevent any individuals from harm. This can be done by undertaking a data protection impact assessment, sometimes called a DPIA, which ensures that there's an appropriate data protection policy in place and ensures that you have a lawful basis and that you've thought about things like transparency.
And what about the second key challenge that you mentioned?
Yes, so the challenge with AI technologies is that they operate in a black box. And what we can't always do is explain how the AI system works. As AI is becoming increasingly complicated, it also follows that it is harder to identify discrimination. A real-life example of discrimination in this area is a large American pharmaceutical chain that was recently banned from using AI facial recognition technology in its shops. The reason for the ban was due to the fact it had been using a flawed and biased database that incorrectly identified people as potential shoplifters. And more specifically on this case, the regulators found that Black and Asian customers were more likely than white customers to be misidentified, and women as well were more likely to be misidentified than men. This was due to the fact that the database was mostly filled with poor quality images from security cameras, including images from employees' phones or news stories, along with other sensitive information, including any criminal background data. Now, as a result of this, the system generated thousands of false positives, which was more commonly relating to stores in neighborhoods with large Black and Asian populations than with white ones, leading to unnecessary interventions. Now, it is easy to see here how the algorithm perpetuated the historic biases from the underlying dataset it was trained on into future decisions and practices. What does this mean in practice for retailers? The two key takeaways for me here are that, firstly, an algorithm is only as good as the data it is trained on. This means retailers should look to understand what data has gone into the algorithm or tool to train it and understand the possible weaknesses or gaps in this data. The second key takeaway is that the outputs of an AI tool need to be put into a wider context and understood before any important decisions are made.
This theme of the weaknesses around AI dovetails into the next and final key issue, the accuracy of data and hallucinations. So could I just ask, Katie, what actually are hallucinations?
In short, hallucinations are essentially a nonsensical or inaccurate output. They can come in the form of false statements or references, and in the context of AI facial recognition technology, false positive matches. Hallucinations are tricky to spot and can result in retailers relying on false data to make important decisions.
So why do these inaccurate outputs or hallucinations happen?
AI is currently very, very stupid. This is one of my favourite quotes from Andrew Moore, a previous Google vice president. This quote is actually from 2018, but 6 years on, it's still very relevant. So taking the facial recognition technology as an example here, busy retail environments will often lead to significantly lower accuracy rates than those reported by suppliers. This is due to factors like inconsistent lighting, unusual angles, and obstructions, which can all significantly impact performance. And the AI technology isn't clever enough to understand these limitations or caveat its outputs. So what does this mean in practice for retailers? The starting point is that AI technologies should not be relied upon as a source of truth. Retailers should look to implement policies around the reliance on any AI technologies to ensure that underlying sources are identified and outputs are properly interrogated. Retailers should also look to understand the tech and the rationale for decisions being made. This isn't necessarily the same as understanding all the nuts and bolts of how tech works. It is more understanding the wider context and what skill set you need in place to ensure tech is working as it should be and decisions are made as they should be.
So that wraps up today's session on the use of AI facial recognition technology and some of the main benefits and challenges that it presents.
Our full-service retail and consumer sector team are currently advising a lot of clients in relation to the issues discussed in this podcast. If you require legal advice on any of the topics raised today, and to make sure that you don't miss future podcasts and events, please visit our website at bombobondakinson.com or follow the links in the episode description. Thank you for listening.